it all comes down to this, as the Red Roses are taking on France in what is a Women's Six Nations Grand Slam decider in Bordeaux on Saturday. Joining us today to preview that game is the Red Roses' very own captain and 100 cap hero, Marley Packer. So, once again, it feels like a while since recording. Having recorded with their defence coach last week, Bristol Bears went on to score a club record number of points in the Gallagher Premiership in their win against Newcastle. So I think we should probably take some credit for that. Speaking of huge wins, the Red Roses were even more emphatic at the weekend at Twickenham on Saturday. And today our focus is on that all-important Grand Slam decider in the Women's Six Nations at in Bordeaux. France-England, the final game of the tournament, the biggest game of the tournament. And joining us today to preview it is the Red Roses' very own captain. And out of the first game of the tournament, a member of the 100 Cap Club, Marley Packer. How are you, Marley?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, no, it's really great to have you here. So let's look backwards first. What was it like to lead the team out in front of nearly 50,000?
Oh, it was absolutely epic. I think for us as the Red Roses, to play at Twickenham is always an amazing experience, but the last couple of occasions has been sensational. Like, you look at last Six Nations in front of 58,000 for that Grand Slam decider against France, but fast forward a year on and we got 48 nearly 50,000 at Twickenham watching us just play a mid-tournament game against Ireland, and you know, didn't just turn up and play that game. The girls turned up and performed, and we've talked about all tournament about letting off the handbrake and playing some real good rugby, and like how we want to go out there and execute our game. And I think that's the first time we got that snippet of, yeah, how good this squad is and the kind of brand, the kind of way we want to go play the game. And it's very exciting.
So did that performance, which seemed like it almost had been coming, that felt like the culmination of this letting off the handbrake. You know, this is the new Red Roses sort of post Simon Middleton into the John Mitchell era. So this is what people can expect now when coming to watch you.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And I think, you know, the start of the tournament, the Italy, then we had Ashton Gate against Wales before Fallow Week. Like, it was coming. You could see what we were trying to do. We knew as players what we were trying to do, but it was either the last pass went down or something happened at the breakdown or just didn't quite click. And I think last week the switch got switched and it really did click for us. And yeah, this is definitely the John Mitchell era now, and one that I'm very excited to be a part of rolling into 2025. Obviously, we as a squad, we talk about Everest, and you know, Everest is probably 2025 for us as a squad. But to climb Everest, you don't wake up one morning and think, right, I'm going to put my hiking boots on and climb it. You know, there's some planning going in behind the background, and the new staffing group do a fabulous job of coming up with game plans, how we're going to play, how we're going to break down teams, how we're going to defend teams, and just a whole new way we're going to attack the game, which for me as a player, I've never had before. It's really cool. But then also it's then the players to be able to just play with freedom. And if it doesn't go right the first time, that's okay. Like, stop asking questions before you try it. Do it and then ask the questions, because you might actually, you know, answer your own questions by doing it.
That sounds like Brian Ashton. Some of the things that Brian used to say. I mean, I did read somewhere that Brian's sort of loosely connected to you guys at the moment. He's an old mate and a truly great coach. Can you give us some idea of A, what his role is with you, and B, the kind of thing he's bringing in terms of rugby philosophy?
I think Brian, for us, he's an observer. So he's not poaching us. He'll come over and chat in my ear, and we have really good conversations. And I know he does that with other players, and like they sit down at co like over a coffee and real catch up. Brian's a much loved member of staff here with us as the Red Roses, but I think his role is with the coaches and to make sure he's asking the right questions, watching the training sessions, and then inputting it in that sense, in helping. Obviously, we've got two very young coaches as our attack and defence with Lou Meadows and Sarah Hunter, and they're both doing an absolute phenomenal job. Like, but I think, you know, he's that someone that they can go to if needs. But I think obviously Mitch has got a big part to play in that as well. But you know, Brian's just someone like you like to give him a big hug when you see him on a Monday morning
Is
and
that just
ask him
because
if
he's
he's been up
old?
to. No, not because he's old. He's just a genuine, caring kind of guy. I met his wife. We all met his wife at the weekend as well because they came to watch the game. We had a team meal out last night, and you know that old joke you play. It's someone's birthday, and it's really not their birthday, but you get the waitress to bring out like the dessert with a candle on, and we all sing to him. Brian had that done to him last night, so he got up and made a speech and said, "Thank you very much, girls, but when you get to my age, you don't want to celebrate any more birthdays, you have to." So I think he said it was something like September his birthday is, and he's just a legend, isn't he? And yeah, he's just brings a different dynamic to the group, and with great abundance of smiles and love from the girls.
He goes back a long way with John Mitchell. I mean, they were both in Clive Woodward's
Yeah.
coaching team around the time at the turn of the 2000s when England were going 8 tries a game in Six Nations, which was unheard of at the time. I mean, it's a bit freer and easier today, I think, in terms of attacking rugby, but that was off the scale heavy scoring at the time. Do you think they're still sort of kindred spirits?
I think they've got a good just relationship with each other. We haven't seen anything that just shows any different. I expect from speaking to them both, they both see the game quite similarly, but then also have their own direction as well. So it's probably quite nice for them to check and challenge each other in what they're thinking, in you know, pose different questions because from working with Mitch, he's definitely shown to me that how you can attack differently and see space definitely differently, but also work a game plan to your advantage in so many different areas.
Marley, what's you mentioned the taking off the handbrake, and well, I suppose that phrase has been said a thousand times during the Six Nations, but what's your role? Obviously, a back rower like yourself, who obviously spends a lot of time over the ball, you know, making carries. Obviously, you're pretty joué for a seven as well, don't get me wrong. But what is your role in that, in implementing the attacking flair side of things as well, and sort of leading from the front there?
I think for me, how we play has changed so much. We kind of going into WXV, we had this plan of how we want to play 4-2-1-1 with our forward split, and it's something we've never done before. Clubs didn't do it, so it's new to all of us. Mitch was very much not around until we got to WXV, and then he came and joined us once Japan had finished in the World Cup. So it was literally all new, the way we wanted to play. And I think when we came into the Six Nations and we talked about letting off the handbrake, it's quite an easy thing to say, but to different people, it means different things. And Mitch got a video up of his granddaughter, and she's there on a go-kart, and then like she's spinning around the corner and letting off the handbrake going. And we're all sat in the room going, "What the hell?" Like, and he's like, "Yeah, that's what letting off the handbrake looks like, girls." And we're like, "Right, okay." But then actually, now we're playing and we're training. We know what it's about. It's like, if we do what we say we're going to do and let off the handbrake, and if that might be just running really directly and hard at the inside shoulder, holding that defense and then releasing that ball. It might be that actually around set piece, it's then not just winning that scrum, but we're going for pen. We're going to be dominant. We're going to be ruthless in that area. And I think for us, it's that bit of a mindset switch. Like, you're not going to get shouted at. You're not going to be told, why the hell did you try and do that? And it didn't pull off because, we want you to try that because, if it does pull off, that's going to be sensational. And I think that's where our backs have now got the confidence to do what they showed they could do on Saturday. And it's come together nicely.
Most players, Marley, the stock answer to this is it's all about what we do. We think about what we do. We don't think about the opposition in the same way, et cetera, et cetera. But is there, I mean, you've got to be one hell of a competitive spirit to put together 100 England caps. So congratulations on that anyway. Is there a bit of you in right at the back of your mind, which is looking forward to playing a side that's going to ask you? You imagine some pretty serious questions that you haven't been asked over the last few weeks, or is that a complete misreading of the situation?
No, I think we're going to be in an arm wrestle for a long time in this game, but you only make it as long as you want to make it. Like, we come out the blocks firing and do what we say we're going to go out and play like, then actually, they're not going to be able to live with us. Yes, they are going to be more this. It's exactly the same question if you pose it to them as you pose it to us. Yeah, like, has their 10 really been tested? Have they had line speed? Their set piece, has it been tested in a way we know we can test it? But also the physicality, the dominance, the double tackles, the momentum gain, how can momentum switch so quickly and put it back on on yourselves? And the one big main thing that I know going into this game is, we've had a lot of gold zone, so in their 22 entries this tournament. Now, we've let teams off the hook and not always converted that to points. And that's something that going into this game is a big thing, that when we get into their 22, we need to execute and come away with points. But that comes down to being patient. We don't need to score first phase. We can be patient in what we're doing and staying present. If something goes wrong in the game, bin it. It doesn't matter. Next job. Don't be thinking, oh, I can't wait to that final whistle, 60 minutes to go, because that's a lot of time from there to then. So, not saying players do that. I was just giving you an example, but I think it's very much staying present and in the moment.
And on the psychology of this kind of game, Marley, I mean, John, I remember John being coach of the All Blacks in 2003 when they weren't really tested in any meaningful sense, even by South Africa in the quarterfinal, which was like the most one-sided All Blacks Springboks game you've seen, until they got to the semi-final against the Wallabies and got caught. And that was a little bit of a New Zealand syndrome at the time, that they were breezing through their pool, breezing through quarterfinals, and then were falling almost the moment
It's short.
they were up against a side that could throw a punch.
Yeah.
And do you think that that the psychology of this game, is there a danger in the psychology of this game for you
No,
because you haven't really been put up against a wall yet?
I don't think so, because the type of players we've got in this Red Roses squad. So you could say, have we been tested in this Six Nations? I think we have been tested in different areas, and we've dealt with it. We've dealt with unfairness. Like, we went down to 14 in the first game and lost our eight in the first 10 minutes. And we capitalized, we sorted ourselves out. Then in the second half, we lost another player to the bin. So then you're going down to 13 and you're thinking, right, this side, we're still staying on top. And I think, we can talk about discipline or it being unfair, but it's then how do we change that mindset of this isn't fair to actually this is the cards that we're dealt with. We've got to deal with it here and now.
Literally.
Yeah, and I think we've grown massively over that. And then I also think the caliber of players that of where we come from, the PWR, our clubs, you've got Gloucester, Saracens, Bristol, Exeter, you name it, there's teams from all over. And, some of those teams are very dominant and other teams aren't. But it's, we know how to win and we know how to lose. And that is a very, very high pressured situation in the PWR because at the same time, we're all friends playing against each other and all going for that. And, you always get a winner and you always get a loser in a game of rugby. Very rarely you get a draw, but you do get them. And I think, you learn from the PWR in those types of games. So then when you come here, you've all got the same goal. You all know you're the best. You're the best in the country, and then probably the next three players behind you are still the best in the country. And so you just got to make sure that, the learnings that you've learned from all experience comes into this shirt on Saturday. And I truly believe that whatever France bring up against us, we're prepared for it.
One player who maybe she hasn't, well, say she's benefited from it, maybe takes the credit away from her, but has really obviously stood out this Six Nations is Ellie Kildahn. I think she's been player of the match in two, maybe even three of your four games.
Three out of the four games so far, Ellie Kildahn
Yeah,
has one man on a match.
that's ridiculous. Nine tries in four. Do you consider her the most dangerous player in world rugby at the moment?
Yeah, I think so. Like Ellie Kildahn, she's a little rock star. Like she's such a loving character off the pitch and on it. And she's worked hard for where she is. And the thing is, I think, she's got confidence at the moment. The back three have given each other that they're oozing confidence with each other. And they've been given license to be able to do that as well. And I think with that, you can't take away like Meg Jones, absolutely phenomenal. She's running hard at that inside shoulder, holding the gap for Ellie to come through on a little tip, or Holly Aitchison putting them in space, putting the kick through that Scars put through the other day when she came off the bench. Like just phenomenal, and I say it like that. So, actually, she is a rock star. She is playing at her best rugby. Yes, I would say she's the best in the world at the moment in her position. But it's the players around her that are making her that good as well. And I just think that just shows where we truly are as a squad, in that anyone could be finishing those tries, but Ellie is getting on the end of them and being phenomenal.
She's quite quirky, isn't she, as well? She went
Yeah, she's very quirky, our Ellie. We had an off Sunday the other day, and we said, Ellie, make sure you stay, like you keep off your feet and you just relax, right? She's like, yeah, well, I was going to go to a car boot, but I think I'm going to listen to you and not go. And I was like, yeah, you're not going, Ellie, all right? But yeah, she's very quirky. She likes going to a thrift shops. I think that's how you say it. She loves photography. She's just a really bouncy ball of energy, always got a smile on her face, listening to music, and just a really nice person to have around.
You sound as though you don't get bored with each other very easily, Marley, which is not always the case with some teams.
No, literally we don't. We've got a really good thing going on at the moment. Like we went out for a team dinner last night, and like what I said about Brian and the birthday thing, and like we've obviously got a WhatsApp group with all the staff in it as well. So there was a couple of questions that came out on that, and there was a poll. So even though we're on separate tables, we're still all interacting with each other, and you could hear like a laugh coming from one end of the room to the other about what we're all chatting about. So yeah, I just think like we're in a good place as a squad, and we just need to keep growing. Our last training session here at Pennyhill Park yesterday, and it had the whole Six Nations squad in, so even the players that haven't played or are not travelling to France with us. And when we were all in a circle, I just said, the result on Saturday is only the result because of everyone who stood in this circle right now. Now, we can't all take the pitch, But what we've done together to create the team to go out there and perform for us is taking everybody, it's taken every single person in the circle. And I even got like the medics and stuff that were all pitch side in because, it's a massive team effort. We can't, you can't just rock up and play with 15 players in a Six Nations. The players that have not been involved have played such a pivotal part in the success we've got. And even the staff members, our physio, Ash, she was heavily pregnant right up until that Ireland game. That was our last day with us. She was pitch side, so she had to carry Lark Davis off the pitch. And 2 days later, we get a text message and she's had the baby. So she's had a little baby boy. So, this is like how tight we are as a group that like we keep wanting to work with each other as long as we can.
Those two things weren't connected, were
No, not
they?
connected.
Oh, thank
So
the
we do
Lord.
think maybe she did quite a lot on Saturday, which might have helped it along a little bit. But,
Wasn't premature. That's really, really nice. And congratulations to her as well, of course.
And
More.
congratulations to Brendan for turning
Brendan,
up. Well done, Brendan.
made it. Yeah, well
Well, I've got
hi,
to
Brendan. I'm
hello
Molly.
there. Apparently, I had a doctor's appointment at 1 o'clock. Of course, the message hadn't received me. So, on what, 12:45? So, I got phone calls about 2 minutes to one. So, I had to do a phone call consultation. So, sorry about that, chaps.
Oh, the
Well,
man who
that's
brought the
all.
NHS to its knees. Well done, Brendan.
That was done long ago. Brendan, this might be the shortest podcast cameo there's ever been because we've only got about 10, 15 minutes left, but we'll proceed on. Marley, let's find out if you've got any quirks yourself, if that's okay with your random rugby 15, if you're happy to proceed with that.
Yeah, let's go for
Awesome. Nickname.
right, so Party Packer and then Packs and then a new one that's come in, and I'm not sure how I feel about sharing this, but the latest one is called Daddy Packs. Yeah, that's what I'm not sure about, but I think it's like obviously I've got Oliver and it's gone from Party Packs to Daddy Packs, and I'm like, oh, this is all a bit awkward. But yeah, they're the three at the moment.
I suppose Daddy Packs is your official sort of transcendence into the sort of seniority of England rugby rather than,
Yeah, I think
the
so. Yeah, we had a darts night a few weeks ago, and we had all our t-shirts printed up and different songs to come into, and obviously I had Daddy Packs in the back of my t-shirt, so obviously I played up to it a little bit. And then the song Daddy, Daddy Cool, they had
Singing
that
Daddy
playing as I
Pack.
come into the arena and all of that kind of jazz. So yeah,
Nice. Did you win the darts?
no, did I heck? But
Yeah,
if it was darts where we were probably having a few beers and embracing it, I reckon I'd be really good. But it was just a cash dart night. We did it really well. I don't know if you watched any of the O2 Inside Lines
yeah, yeah.
videos that we do in camp, but yeah, the darts night was really good. Mitch wore orange mohican,
Yeah,
shoved a pillow up his top, so he was looking like a proper darts player. And then we were in like tables or groups, and so then you're singing over about the table or whatever. So it was a really good night, but I think that's where the bond within the group's coming from at the moment in saying where we're at.
you
Yeah.
saying that you're a better dance player when you've had a few? Well, they
Yeah,
all are, aren't
probably.
they? A lot of people
I'm not
are.
sure. I'm not
Yeah.
sure. I
Well,
don't know.
that could be a new way forward for the hookers, couldn't it?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Hey, not our hookers. They're great anyway.
Good
There
answer.
was a snooker player who needed 20 pints. He had a certificate, didn't he? So it
Alec, wasn't it Alec? Well, Alex
was a
Higgins
Canadian lad, wasn't
played.
it?
Oh, really? I mean,
Oh,
Alex
Bill
Higgins was
Werbenick.
also with
That
a
is the one.
bog run.
20-pint Bill Werbenick, and he won a world championship, didn't he, on that once?
Oh, my Lord.
Fair play, fair play.
Yeah, I don't think anyone at the Crucible is doing that now. That's going on at the moment, isn't
No, but
it?
that's the thing, isn't it? Like, if you look at darts now, sorry, we've gone off subject, and like snooker, like it used to be back in the day when I don't know, I was younger, like they used to always have a couple of pints with them as they were playing. Now it's a bottle of water and and then whatever energy sponsors them
It's vodka. Now you've
drink
got
kind of
it's
thing.
vodka.
And now you've got darts players in. I mean, Gerwyn Price is in pretty decent shape. He obviously takes care of himself, which is probably the reason Johnny's
Well,
not
he
doing it.
definitely takes care of himself, don't he? He used to play for Neath Rugby, didn't he?
Exactly. He was a
So
rugby player.
yeah, he's a bit of a rugby boy.
Yeah,
So
very much so.
he's definitely one that looks after himself, so he's not a front row forward, is he?
No. God, we've usually wrapped up the 15 questions by now.
This
Good,
is the
good
longest
start.
quickfire round in history.
All right, let's go back to quickfire. Let's go for it.
Best rugby memory.
Winning 2014 World Cup.
Most embarrassing rugby memory.
Having my bum, like having my shorts and pants pulled down.
Sarah Hunter said exactly the same thing.
Yeah, I did it to Sarah. Well, actually, I think I pulled her top up and someone else was pulling her shorts down. So that was in 2017 World Cup, that
Yeah,
was.
yeah, yeah,
That was
yeah.
a funny day for her.
Yeah, I was editing a
Did
video from that game, and obviously that shot came up, and to Sarah's,
you keep it? Because it's quite funny.
I didn't. I wasn't allowed to keep it, unfortunately.
Okay.
Not that I was trying to either.
No.
Pre-game tune.
Oh, Maroon 5 payphone. I think that's the name.
Yeah. Wow, nice. Post-game meal.
It's really hard, that is, but I love the pizza, really.
Best player you've played against?
Best player I've played against. Sorry, this isn't really quick fire, is it for you? He probably Sarah Gough, Hoerene. I
Okay.
played her both in sevens and 15s.
Best player you've played with?
There's a few: Emily Scarrett, Poppy Cleal, Natasha Hunt. I think Poppy Cleal, because we link up really well together. We have this weird kind of, know each other, are there for the offloads. Obviously, it's been a bit disappointed we've not played at England together recently under Mitch, but at club, I love it.
Favorite player right now?
Meg Jones.
Nice. Rugby idol.
Johnny Wilkinson.
Nice. Have you ever attempted a drop goal in a game?
No, I haven't
Game
actually.
you've kicked, have you?
I've done a lot of drop goals because I used to play sevens, so you used to score and then do the drop goal
Yeah,
straight
yeah, yeah,
after
yeah.
it. So I've done that, but not actually in a game, no.
Favorite stadium?
Twickenham. It has to be Twickenham.
Favorite gym exercise?
I quite like squat, like to box, so.
Occupation if rugby didn't exist.
And I can choose anything.
Yeah.
I think I'd like to be, someone that's like a multi millionaire, but I go around helping the elderly. So, like, do you know what I mean? I've made my millions, and
Yeah.
now I can give back to old people, because that's what I used to love doing as a plumber, is the fact that like you'd go to some old lady's house, or there was a gentleman once, and he'd show me his card from the Queen at the time, and being 100. Sorry, this is not quick fire, I know. And just being able to sit down and have a cup of coffee with them, because like that makes their day, and they might not have interactions with people for 2, 3 days or something like that. So I just like the thought that you can, like, spending 10 minutes of your time with someone might make their day.
Funnily enough, most plumbers are multimillionaires now anyway.
Well, can you send one over here to show me how to do
Can't find one, they're too rare.
that, please?
Superstitions.
I don't really have any, because is what it is in life. So it's either going to go your way or not your way. So yeah.
Nice. Rugby law you would change.
Pardon?
Rugby law, you would change.
Rugby law, I'd change. Pass, sorry.
No, that's a difficult one. Best thing about
You
working rugby.
wouldn't pass.
Ban passing,
Yeah, no
that'd
passing.
be
You're only allowed to run straight.
Ban forward passes if you would.
weird. Georgia tried that.
Yeah, for quite
Yeah.
a while. Best thing about working in rugby.
The people you get to meet, I think, is the best thing. And for me, obviously, being able to travel the world with the job I love doing.
Well done, Marley. That was officially the slowest quick fire round
Sorry, I love to
we've
chat,
ever
mate.
had. No, it's absolutely fine. I know you need to get going soon.
That's all right.
Could we just steal 5 minutes from you for England, France specifically. Is that okay?
Of course, of course. I'll sit back down. Sorry, I thought we'd done then. Yep.
No, sorry, sorry. Yeah, so let's look at France in particular. I think you've won every game since 2018, or unbeaten since 2018. So you are probably going in as favourites, away from home in Bordeaux. Like you say, you haven't played there in your career yet, so that's very exciting. Every game in the past six has been decided by 12 points or fewer, five of them 6 points or fewer. So are you
Yeah.
prepping for another one of those, or are you looking to win a bit more emphatically?
To be fair, we've not talked about it. In all honesty, I think when you start looking at things that closely, then actually it's taken away with what we want to go there and do. I think the scoreline will look after itself if we execute our game plan and execute how we want to go about our business, not just in attack, but in defence. France are going to pose us lots of different questions, and they're going to have watched our games. We're going to have watched their games. But I think for me, it's always a tight game against France. But that's what you want to be in. I spoke earlier about the arm wrestle, and we know we're going to be in an arm wrestle. But then we need to break that arm wrestle and in play some and play some really good rugby, which then we don't need to be in the fight is tough as being like the score lines you're talking about.
How
Do
do
you
you
think
assess
there are
the
aspects of
story?
their game, Marley, that are unique to them? Because
No, they like to.
it's often said in the men's game
Yeah.
the French do things still, even today, in an age of great analysis and all that kind of business, the depth and timing of running and all that kind of thing, and the angles that they can generate, it's very difficult for others to replicate because they've been doing it since a year dot. Is that the
Yeah.
case with the in the women's game, do you think?
Yeah, I think their slogan is dare to play. Their philosophy is dare to play. So, for us, it's we know they like to take quick taps. We know they like to play quick line outs. Bourdon, their nine, she's very steppy, loves a quick tap, loves a pick and go, looks in that Gregan, that little inside ball around that ruck. So, we are aware of all that. But then they play like a bit odd. Instead of kicking for touch, they're quick tap it and then hoof it down the field. So, we're just prepared for all things really. But if we starve them of the ball, then actually they can't do those kind of things.
Where do you assess their? Obviously, you mentioned Bourdon, and they've got a history of very strong scrum halves. To be fair, you've gone
Yeah.
one sans souci to another. Grisé, Siofani, they've got, threats either side as well. Is that where you see their main potency?
Oh, like they got a very dominant forward pack. Manajé, she had a great game last week. I think for us, it's making sure we break them down. We want to break them down in the set piece. They didn't have the best set piece game against Wales in the line out, so we're going to really go for their set piece in this game. But then also, good line speed, but not just outside line speed. Like we want 15 on feet, and we want to go get them.
And just last question, I've got to ask you
Yeah.
about the 100 caps. You're obviously, in the England Rugby Hall of Fame anyway, but now pretty based in the Scarretts, the Hunters, the Rocky Clarks, the Casey Daly Macleans. Just how did it feel? How was the day? Was it something you were thinking about much beforehand and reflected on much since?
To be honest with you, I think the 100 cap, there was quite a lot of pressure around it. I picked up a niggle just before Six Nations. My family were all coming out in a book to go to Italy, which we don't have a lot of money. So like the pressure was the fact that I knew they'd all paid to come to a trip that I'm not guaranteed fitness to be in that squad to play. And then just the relief of that then going out, I was the Red Roses captain, so that job for me comes first and at the forefront of everything, and it's about the squad, the team, and making sure they're in the best possible place. So, when that final whistle went and they then did a little side the pitch to honour me, my gold cap, and I did a little speech, and I was like, right now, can we stop talking about where? Can we not look at me anymore and get on with the rest of this tournament? Because I just not I wanted it over and done with, because it was the most amazing day to have everyone there and very, very special. But I don't like the spotlight being about me. I think after the Six Nations, I'm going away with Oliver for a few days to Butlins, and then I'm actually getting to go away by myself for a couple of days as well. And I think I'll have time to reflect. And yeah, just there's still people on my phone that I've not replied to, and I feel so bad, but it's just been such an hectic 7 weeks of amazingness, to be fair. It's been amazing, but it's a lot.
Yeah, well, you're almost at the end, and obviously, yeah, we wish you all the best. Well, congratulations on the 100. I know it's slightly belated, so
Thank you.
massive congratulations and all the best for Saturday. And enjoy Bordeaux, both on the field and off it.
Will do. Thank you so much.
Well done, Marty. Thank you.
Thanks for coming,
Thank you.
Ashton.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of the Rugby Paper Podcast. And don't forget to subscribe on whichever podcast platform you use and recommend the show to your friends. The Rugby Paper is available to buy every Sunday. And to make sure you don't miss it, subscribe through our print, digital, and online options at therugbypaper.co.uk/subscriptions. That's therugbypaper.co.uk/subscriptions to get all our content for as little as 14p per day.